Sometimes the sun, the moon, and the earth align and create unusual chemistry. And that's happening right now in Broadway's Lyceum Theater, where a star-studded cast, an incisive and idiosyncratic play, and raucous laughter all come together in Will Eno's The Realistic Joneses. It's difficult to describe its sensibility, but imagine a smart sitcom scripted by Samuel Beckett or an episode of Seinfeld written by Jean-Paul Sartre. This story of two couples, neighbors who share the same surname and the same degenerative disease, is funny, moving, and very, very quirky. The male Joneses are played by Tracy Letts and Michael C. Hall, and their respective wives by Toni Collette and Marissa Tomei. And I'm delighted to welcome back to our show Academy Award-winning Marissa Tomei and Will Eno, winner of both an Obie Award for Playwriting and the 2014 Lucille Lortel Award for Outstanding Play. It's a pleasure to have you both here.
Hi.
Well, those awards were for your off-Broadway play, The Open House. Isn't this your first Broadway play?
It is, yeah. And also, it was a very lovely thing. The Drama Desk.
I left that one out.
Yeah, well, it was a very nice thing. They're very sweet. It's hard to think of awards as sweet, but the Drama Desk I thought was so lovely. They gave an award to both. Me and the cast of both the Open House and the Realistic Joneses, which was a really nice thing to settle the whole question.
Yeah.
Was this play always headed to Broadway, or did it just evolve, especially when you put together this amazing cast?
It was on at Yale Rep a couple years ago, and Tracy Letts and some other wonderful people were in that production, and that just came together very well, and Sam Gold directed that as well. So I could never sit down and set out to write a play that's headed to Broadway, but that these guys, we did a reading in July of last year.
Threw
together this thing, and it really just kind of sparkled and was really, really great.
Well, Marissa, didn't you work with Will at The Flea and Oh, the Humanity?
Yes, we did.
How similar or different is this play?
Oh, gosh. Well, it was two actors, but we played in, was it four different, five different scenarios, and we each played five different characters. So the language is similar, and the dexterity and the stamina you need, and the quick changes is something that I really remember a lot from that play. And that experience and translating to this one.
So the way that Will uses language is challenging to an actor?
The way that it's a delight. It's so delicious. It's layer after layer of heaven as you start to unravel what meanings there could be from the very deep and esoteric and personally deep to just the banal. And when sentences, ideas, and individual words have multi-layers, it's just, I'm in heaven. And I don't even know if you did, to me, this is the kind of, like, when you start unpacking a script, I usually call it this terrible time. It happens a lot more in movies than in plays, but it does happen where I'm like, I have to spackle. I'm just the spackler now. Like, there's a big hole here, like, in the logic or the emotional fabric, and you have to spackle it in. But with Will, there's no – that's not there. That's all – it all bridges. So my character, Pony, I have this line where I say, for example, oh, there's an apple orchard around here. But horses really like apples. So I get with that he has already constructed layers of things that I can fall into. Who knows if you already.
So when you were reading the script, did you see all of the laughs that you were going to get immediately?
Oh, gosh. When we did the reading, there were a lot of laughs. It was a very small conference room, and there were a lot of laughs in amongst the 10 people that were in that little room. But it's such a delight when you have a full house and you're riding all those laughs.
Well, is that what it took to get you back to the theater and 8 performances a week?
No, I was on stage 2 years ago in Marie and Bruce, Wallace Shawn's play, and that was heaven. Actually, Will came. Did you come to opening? You were right there.
Yeah, it
came
wasn't
to a
opening.
Special
right.
night
yeah,
that we had a dinner or something.
Wally was there, I remember.
Yeah.
For some reason. Yeah.
Well, how are the audiences reacting? This is not a typical Broadway play. Are they prepared for it?
I'm not sure. I've seen it a ton. I've probably seen 30. I saw all the previews, and I kind of checked back in quite a bit. And there's a couple of laughs that I really like to keep track of because I think that they signal that people care and are tracking a thing. And
they're paying attention.
They seem pretty reliably there. And just back to the language really quick, I have to say these guys have such an incredibly light touch, which is such a it's such a pleasure, and it's so I just find it really exciting and really funny to see the play. And I'm not a big one for keeping track of reviews, but I was poking around on the WNYC site the other day just because it's a great source of news and information and opinion. And Jennifer Venasco has
and sending you a membership dollars right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, but your theater critic had such a wise and lovely and loving appraisal of the thing and said such nice things about you guys about just how as stylized or as, quote, intellectual or something like that as the language might get, it just has a very, very grounded feel of real people talking, which is all I ever wanted. And that is a great thing with this cast.
Well, how much of a difference does the audience make to a performance, Marissa? You're getting – I'm sure you don't get the same response every night to every line.
No, but there are places that are consistent, as Will was saying, markers that indicate that they're listening in a caring way. And also a consistency kind of comes about through the week. So maybe Tuesday, it just has to do with how people's normal human behavior. People are more festive and drank a little more on a Friday or a little more tired after work on another day or are in the... there's a more cerebral listening audience, and then there's a more festive, raucous audience, and it tends to just build throughout the week. So there's that consistency, but not from day to day.
And this is presented without a break. Is it important to get that momentum?
Yeah, this play. This is how the play was constructed, and you can ride it. The language does. The first question you started with is really the heart of it all, because the construction is so intricate and so layered. And once you crack the style as an actor, you can ride the play.
Well, Will, if only people actually talked the way they do in your plays, what an entertaining world we would be living in.
So many people say, I walked away and oh my God, I'm speaking just like I am in the play. So they do speak that way.
Well, do you think the way that your characters talk?
I guess I do, because it doesn't, I don't really sit down to write something. I sort of bristle at the word quirky because that, I don't know what, I think of old child stars of the 50s and I think, oh, there's a quirky sort of person. but I guess I do, for whatever reason, and I don't know what they are, the reasons, but I as I'm doing right now, I sort of think in a kind of circular crab walking kind of way. And
well,
I guess I speak that way.
How did someone who says that he had wanted to be a pro biker wind up writing plays? And do you see a connection between
them? I studied writing with Gordon Lish, and he has a kind of – he had a similar approach that – I was on a team for a while bike racing with this Eastern European coach named Constantine Negulescu, and he had a very – it's sort of typically Eastern European approach to training, and it was just you just work really, really hard all the time, and that's what you do. And Gordon has a, in some ways, similarly hard. It's just really hard work, and it's a physical thing where you sit in a chair and you stay in a chair. And so there are certainly connections.
Don't you and Sam Gold, who directed this production, have a standing swash game? Is that when you work out disagreements, or
it's funny?
I want to know too.
Yeah, that has been really great, and Tracy plays as well, actually, and that started up in Yale, and that's been a really, really great thing, and that actually feels really good, and that was kind of life saving just to get through the rehearsal and preview process, because you do, you spend a lot of time inside a room and with not getting any daylight, and it feels really good to run around.
Well, that's boys only, but Marissa, don't you have a workout video? Is this the most physically fit show on Broadway?
Is this the most physically? No, I doubt that.
Oh, I bet it. Let's see. I bet you guys.
You think we're the most physically fit?
Yeah. Well, you're also a master hula hooper, aren't you? Have you challenged the boys?
I would not call myself a master of that, but I do like to hula hoop. And I do it before the show. It is very uplifting, and my character is the positive sides of her are that she's very open-hearted and happy. And hula-hooping makes me happy.
It's funny. I just was
trying to imagine. It's hard to be upset in the hoop.
I was just thinking that. It seems very hard to be angry or grumpy while you're in the middle of hula-hooping.
Yeah,
and my wife, Maria, was knitting a little baby hat this morning. We are expecting a baby in July, and it's this funny little yellow hat with a sort of wobbly brim. And I was just, we were laughing, imagining someone being angry in this tiny little hat, and I'm sure that will happen.
My guests are Will Eno, whose play, The Realistic Joneses, is now at the Lyceum Theater on West 45th Street. Also with us is Marissa Tomei, who is a member of the cast that also includes Tracy Letts, Michael C. Hall, and Toni Collette. And will they say that casting is 80% of the success or failure of a piece? You have an amazing cast here.
They really, it is really, really terrific. Marissa, of course, I'd worked with, and Tracy, I knew. Michael and Toni, I just knew from films and television, and they really are, it is uncanny. And even that reading that we did in July, there was even something slightly eerie, is too eerie a word, but it was just beautiful and spooky how instantaneously everybody just jumped right in. And,
sometimes I feel that way, but how come I understand this character?
Right, yeah.
What does it say about me that I understand?
How long
her?
Before in rehearsal did you understand? Come to understand your character?
Well, there's always the initial instinct of understanding, and then the whole circle of questioning it or losing sight of that and then coming back to it. That's the full rehearsal process.
Did you have much time to rehearse?
No, we didn't. That was the only kind of little yikes about the situation. It was 3 weeks, and that's just not a lot of time for a Broadway show, for a new play, and just for that language, because really that's the main thing, is to really know that language so well. But it was terrifying, but we did it.
Well, much of the language involves saying contradictory things or reflecting on what you just said and then commenting on it a little further. And that leads to a lot of the humor. But I suspect it also, in just thinking about how to deliver those lines, you had to
fill in those gaps. Yeah. Well, most of it makes it, to me, to answer what you were saying, initially, it makes emotional sense to me for whatever reason. So in that first reading, Sam Gold had given all of us actors, a couple little words. You're a great couple. You guys get along. It's not about animosity. Don't take it down that road. And, just keep it moving along. And it's so well constructed that it can work that way. And it works beautifully at an initial read. And we've also always said it could work as a radio play. The language, the rhythmic stuff, it just works, and you understand the characters. But then
Except
once
the
you
body
start
language
digging,
is
you
fabulous.
Have to get in. The body language, yeah, that's just a little.
Well, do you think
that's a little sprinkled on top?
Have you thought yourself much about the title, The Realistic Joneses? Are any of these people realistic?
Well, I think about it as the coveting and wondering what your neighbor's up to and trying to keep up to what your neighbor has. But then when you really think about what your neighbor has, which could be something that you don't actually want, and you're keeping up with them on that level, have to take a look at yourself and, the dynamics you're creating. Is that what you're part of it?
And is that why you named them the Joneses? Because it's about kind of dealing with that cliche, keeping up with the Joneses?
A little bit, and also it seemed like a pleasing name at the time, and I wanted to just create this little, I guess every play is a microcosm, and that this one was just a little world filled with Joneses who are all trying to face these unknowable and endlessly mysterious things and oblivion and all sorts of stuff like that. So to me, I think of them as realistic in that what is an unreal way to face a huge mystery or an unknowable thing or death or anything like that.
Well, you set the tone right at the start. The play begins with an amusing exchange between the other character, Jennifer, well, the other female character, Jennifer, and her husband, Bob, Tracy Letts and Toni Collette. She complains that they don't really talk anymore, and it ends with Bob asking, what are we doing now, math?
Uh-huh.
And we get the idea right from then on of what kind of play we're going to see here.
Yeah, Tracy does a great, great job with that line. And
Do you think that once you begin avoiding the big topics in a relationship, that pretty soon you can't talk comfortably about anything?
I think that's probably true. Michael Hall's character has a line about people talk about things or they don't. It doesn't matter. The things will have their day. The things will rise again. So his opinion is that they're there and they're unshakably there and they're going to be a problem. But I think you're probably right that and I think that's in general. And I thought that was a very nice thing in Jennifer Venasco's review of the play that talking about that conversation is what makes painting a house worthwhile or doing any of the little things that we do.
Well, how much marriage is about denial? Is about what you don't say.
You're asking me.
35%. I'd say 35% of it.
Well, 38%. Marissa, how did your character come to be called Pony? Did you ever ask Will that?
I didn't.
All the other names are Bob and Jennifer. You know, they're.
You know, I kind of just feel like I don't even care why I'm so lucky. I like the fact that I get to play a character named Pony is just. She's not. For me, it's a beautiful way of saying she's not grown up. She's not matured yet. But it's not like she's called, handicapped and regressed in her emotionally regressed title. Like, that's not her name. Her name is Pony, with all the gameness and awkwardness and trying to grow up, you know, needing to. That's how I understand her name. What about her name?
That sounds all great. I love the horse, the orchard, apple orchard thing, too. And I just, it's funny, Sam Gold, again, talking about this this baby we have on the way, Sam Gold was saying, well, you're a writer. That'll be fun for you to make up names. And I just pointed down to the script where it was Bob, Jennifer, John. And I don't know that that's my great strength, coming up with names. But Pony Jones, I am very proud of as a name.
One of the themes is, as I read it, is how much of life is dealing with the big issues and how much is just getting rid of the dead squirrel or finding the free samples at a grocery store.
Yeah, well, in terms of ratios and percentages, I think that's the question. And I was just sitting on the stoop. I can't go into this story, but just I was realizing for the millionth time this morning just that every little part of life is a part of life, and the there are big, big events, and there are huge traumatic things and joyous things, but it is this, you are expressing yourself and expressing your relation to the world in every little moment, and that's a very old thing to say, but realized it again this morning.
We're always trying to reconcile it, and as you re-realize it, it's like always coming to accept that. That's what I love about, I've said it before, but doing the play every night for me is like a meditation or just hearing a soothing poem, even though it has so much turmoil as life does. But as he has worked out the mundane and the huge aspects of life, he works out during the play. So every night that's washing over me, and it helps me get to that place.
And you have two movies at the Tribeca Film Festival this year, so you're all over the place. Back in New York.
All over the place.
And, I hope not in this interview. I hope that's not what you mean.
Will, another play in the works?
I really have been working like a dog since September, and over the weekend I regrouted the tiles on our bathroom floor, and we're doing stuff like that around the house to get ready for this little angry person in the beautifully knit hat. Yeah.
The Realistic Jones is currently at the Lyceum Theater on West 45th Street. Is this an open run?
No, it's a limited run. It's always been a limited run, and it will be running till, I believe,
July 6th.
And it starts.
And Tracy Letts' birthday is July 4th.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be a big weekend.
Tracy Letts, whose birthday is July 4th, Michael C. Hall, Toni Collette, and Marissa Tomei. My great thanks to Marissa Tomei, and also to the playwright, Will Eno, for being on our show today.
Thank you.
And congratulations for all the awards.